This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. We have a super fun show for you. I love getting great children's books with fabulous illustrations. And the illustrations in the book that I'm going to share with you and the illustrator, Grace Helmer, is one of the best I've ever seen. So it touches my heart. And of course, the name of the book is called Van Gogh's Dog. So we're going to pick her brain a little bit about the book, but mostly talk about the wonderful illustrations and designs that are within the book and sort of how do you create a children's book with wonderful illustrations and everything. Do you start with illustrations first? Do you write the book? Let's go hand in hand. How's all that work? So we'll talk to the master herself, Grace Helmer, in just a moment. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Talk to the paw.
Hi, this is Amy Short.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Bourne.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails. And who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown? Pet Life Radio, the tail wagger.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Welcoming to the show is artist and illustrator Grace Helmer. Grace, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. I love the book. Of course, it's in conjunction with the writers, Georgia Larson, and you did all the illustrations in the book and all the designs. And with Van Gogh's dog, well, I have to start right off the bat. I do have to ask you this. Did Van Gogh have a dog?
No.
I knew that. I do know a little bit about Van Gogh. We went to the Van Gogh Experience, the traveling thing that they're doing, which was fabulous. But yeah, I get asked that all the time. I said, hey, I'm going to interview Grace Helmer about the book. She did all the illustrations in the book, Van Gogh's dog. And of course, they're like, great. You know, did he have a dog? You know, so no dog. But in Grace Helmer's mind, there is a wonderful dog and all kinds of mischief. So tell us a little bit about the book and a little bit about the mischief of the dog.
Well, the book is, using a bit of creative license, but to give Van Gogh a dog. But he, in the book, he's struggling to find inspiration for his paintings. And that's when our cheeky dog called Sunny comes in and steals his paintbrushes and the sunflowers around him and, runs off through his paint palette and leads Van Gogh all through town, like through many scenes that we recognise from all his paintings, like the Night Cafe, Cafe Terrace at Night, and the Starry Night painting, the super famous ones. And the chase then gets like Van Gogh all excited to paint again and full of ideas, all thanks to cheeky little dog.
I love it. And I'm thinking, he did such wonderful work to begin with. Of course, we didn't recognize that till many, many, many years later. But perhaps if he did have a dog, we could have seen even more out of him. So
exactly.
Yes. And I love the play on the work. You know, we got sunflowers and, of course, the dog's named Sunny, which is fantastic. And I love that. And most of all, and you hit it on the head, I love the fact that you led us through with your illustrations of his most famous work, some of the things we recognize, even the most, whether you're an avid Van Gogh fan or an avid artist or you're just a novice, you know these paintings, everything about, Starry Night and the cafe and, even Self-Portrait, these type of things. And you blended them not only into the book, but you actually had a separate section towards the back of the book with your illustrations of his famous paintings.
Yeah, so there's, I guess, the whole idea of the book and the series, because there is a book, the first one in the series is called Monet's Cat. It's all about, like, introducing children and adults as well to the works of, like, these famous artists through kind of these illustrated stories all inspired by their artwork, making it a bit more accessible, I guess, for the younger readers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think for those that, the younger readers, getting them hooked on fantastic writing and fantastic books, and then the wonderful illustrations that you put together is fantastic. It's one thing here, but also I have to believe, you know, the parents and the teachers and the people reading the books to the children are learning more about it. Yeah, I imagine everybody knows the name of Monet and knows the name of Van Gogh, but do they really know the paintings? Could they match them up, and do they know the history behind it? And this takes us on a little bit of that journey with doing, like you said, a little bit of a twist to it.
Yeah, sort of having a bit of fun with it, and I don't know, getting people to imagine the life behind the paintings as well. Like, how did Van Gogh discover these scenes and find these amazing inspiration in nature?
Absolutely. And so the real question is, since this is a series of books, are the number of artists going to outweigh the number of animals that we can see within the books? That will be the great debate as we go through all these.
I know, it could be endless, really. There's so many artists, so many animals. I think the next one is in the series is about Matisse and a rabbit, a runaway rabbit. So
nice. Well, we will definitely get you back on and talk to you about that when that comes about, for sure. So tell us about how the series, and in this particular instance, the Van Gogh's dog, how did that all come about? Was it a matter of Georgia Larson, the writer, creating this idea and concept and then approaching you? Did you have the ideas and illustrations ahead of time and needed the writing behind it? Or did the editor say, hey, I need two great people that can do two great things, and there you go. You mix it all together and you got success.
I think bingo, it's that last one.
There you go.
So it was the team at Michael O'Mara Books, who are the publisher behind it all here in the UK. I previously worked with them on a Van Gogh activity book, which is sort of for all ages as well. And they had already worked on Monet's Cat with another illustrator, Becky Cameron, I think. And they wanted to, I think they had dreamt up this idea of Van Gogh's dog and all a bit of the backstory as a cheeky dog when they came to me with that outline of the story and said, well, we know that you love painting Van Gogh and I love painting dogs as well. And I just thought the idea sounded really, really fun. And yeah, we sort of developed it a bit together, and the look of the dog especially went through a lot of different rounds of feedback and back and forth, trying to decide how best to show this sort of cheeky little character, because at first he was sort of a bit bigger, maybe a bit more of a mixed breed dog with this sandy coloured fur. He's had the blue and yellow spotty neckerchief from the beginning. That's always been in there. We sort of wanted to show this artsy street dog rather than someone else's pet. He's sort of just he's his own boss. But yeah, gradually the dog kind of became more ginger, and then he didn't seem to stand out enough against Van Gogh's paintings. So we decided to just make him a cute little white dog with black spots that sort of had a bit more sausage dog in him, bit of Jack Russell in there as well, and a bit of a mix really. But yeah, so he could just stand out against all these beautiful paintings Van Gogh did.
That was, and Jack Russell hit me right away on that. And I think you guys did a fantastic job all the way around on that, because yeah, you want to be, in my mind, even if I'm just looking at the book briefly before I get into it, I'm thinking, okay, this dog's got to be feisty. As you said, a street dog, it's got to be a terrier or a Jack Russell. It's got to be somebody that's getting into mischief all the time. And I love how you blended the blue and the gold to represent the sunflowers in the whole thing around his little handkerchief, little bow tie thing. There you go. That thing. So
bandana.
Brilliant. So then as an illustrator, they come to you with this idea, and we'll take the dog, for instance, with Sunny. Did you have to go through all these different concepts and designs, or did you present, okay, I'm going to present this sort of the tan, scruffy dog, and they're like, not quite, go back to the oil and paper and give us something else?
Yeah, sort of a multi-stage process. With how I work on most jobs as an illustrator, is you're starting off with the very rough sketches, and then that first stage is always to sort of suss out what each person's thinking And then usually you get a like, no, not quite like that. And then each stage you sort of refine it a bit, you get a bit closer until suddenly it feels like, yes, like bingo, that's it. And which is always the best stage.
That's it. Now, the question, though, is do you get the rights to the other dogs that you created so you can create other projects with them? Or is it hand, or is it like, oh?
Yeah, that is a good question. I think like the roughs all belong to me and all my sketches. And I create all the illustrations. They're all oil painted. So I've got them all still like lying around in my drawers in my studio.
Never know when they're going to come in handy. So that's perfect.
Yeah. Never know when they'll just pop up.
That's it. Well, you brought it up, and these are oil paintings that you do, you know, and I know various illustrators use different types of material in their designs, whether it's acrylic paint, whether it is a watercolor painting, whether it's, you know, sketches and charcoal, these type of things. But from my understanding, this is one of your favorite methods in sort of how you go about crafting your skill set and what you do. How did that all come about?
Yeah, because I guess a lot of people are like, why do you oil paint illustrations? Because it could quite easily be, yeah, other forms of painting which dry quicker. I guess as I was developing and like learning how to paint and to draw, I was taught oil painting when I was at college. And then as a like poor student, they were the paints that I had. So I just carried on painting with them. And then slowly, as like I've sort of had to work a bit more digitally to work with clients, I've sort of brought in sketching digitally, like on the iPad, and doing a bit of that. And then it still all revolves around the oil painting, because there's nothing like just sort of stepping back from the screen and just kind of getting lost in the world of the colour and the paints. And then I'll bring it all together digitally at the end, like scanning it all in once it's dry.
I love it. Now, you talked about that, you know, digital designs and things of this sort, or the modern way of doing things. Now, obviously, with your work, not only have you been involved with, putting together children's books and designs there, but you've also worked with major corporations in doing designs. How is that different when you're working with, you know, say Google or the New Yorker, or these type of places that they're asking for you to put together something? Is that still the oil designs, or are they asking you to go back to do something digitally, or is it a combination of both?
Probably a combination, but yes, I guess sometimes it will depend more on the deadline, like how much time do I have to do it, rather than like the size of the client. Or but usually they'll always be painting as like the heart of the piece. But if it's really a time limit and or I need to make like a lot of changes very quickly, then I'll rely on doing more digital like changes to it afterwards, and a bit of shortcuts here and there. But I always like the final piece to sort of seem like it's mostly painted and have that human touch as
nice.
Well.
Yeah, I like that. Well, I have to ask, but I don't want you to get in trouble, because I know you like doing both. How is it different working with an author in a publishing house, putting together a children's book and doing illustrations, compared to working for a major corporation? Because I know you love them both and you want them to continue to hire you. I get it. I understand. I want both too. It's good. But I won't ask you if you have a preference. We'll just say, how is it different?
The process, I guess, with a children's book, it's usually much longer. There's a lot more back and forth maybe in certain ways, but then in the same way almost with like a big corporation doing illustrations for them, you do have a lot of like back and forth as well, because it will often be like both sides really want they look at every detail. But the children's books, it feels like they usually just have publishing generally has smaller budgets, but they're more of the like passion projects or that kind of thing. Hard to describe.
Yeah, well, I can imagine if a publishing house is coming to you and they've got a concept that they're wanting to put into a book and hopefully make it a long series that you can tie in, that would be a little bit different approach and maybe a little bit more personable, I think. then maybe I won't say a corporation is not personal, but I imagine they're hiring you for a particular product launch or a particular advertising plan, and they probably have an idea of what the plan is. And then they're like, go do something. I mean, am I making this too hard or too easy?
They'll often have a much more exact sort of, thing that they want you to do for advertising. And they'll often be, really, really into those details of and wanting to like have a lot of control in it. Where in a children's book, you have a bit more of that creative expression, usually like a more personal touch. You can put sort of more of yourself into it, in my experience. But every client is different. Every project is different.
And so you got to keep your versatile hats on to be able to accomplish that. And you do a great job with that. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and continue our conversation with artist and illustrator Grace Helmer, talk a little bit more about the book Van Gogh's Dog. And I want to talk to Grace a little bit about just illustration in general. You know, how do you do that? How do you wear all these different hats? And how do you put it in such beautiful artistry inside of a book for children? So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Or wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a 4-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with artist and illustrator Grace Helmer. And the book is Van Gogh's Dog. So I love it. I love it. So when you get it all done, and as you mentioned at the first half, that it takes a while to do it. Everybody that's a novice, not people that listen to this show because they know what goes into a children's book, but a novice would say, oh, okay, yeah, get somebody that can draw nicely and put some words in there, you know, in a week or two, you're done. It's not that easy, I would assume.
Yeah, definitely. I wish it was. Yeah, it takes a lot longer than you would think to do something like a 30-page book that's mostly pictures. But as we discussed before, like there's lots of rounds of feedback, even choosing how the dog was going to look in Van Gogh's Dog, like how Sunny's looking. And that took a lot of back and forth. And it's also figuring out how the words and the images can work, like they're best together, like they support each other. Things like what you're reading just before you turn the page, how does the page turn work, or do you need to say in the words everything that's going on, or can you show as much as possible in the pictures so there's not as many words there? And just getting the pacing right. And that's why we go through like a lot of rounds of different sketches before we finally commit to the final paintings, final artwork. And then there's often changes after the final artwork. But for this book, it was quite a quick process because I think the publisher had a sort of idea in mind of when they wanted it to come out. But also I had my own deadline where I was about to go on maternity leave with my second child. So it had to be finished before then. So it was quite like, I think from beginning to end is about 4 months or so to get it done, which is very, very quick for this kind of picture book. I know it sounds long, maybe to some people, but to me, that's very, very short.
Yes, absolutely. So I have to ask, the biggest critics definitely are the children. And you mentioned, I'm sure you've shared it in the family. What's the verdict? Did mom do well? I'm trying to reflect back to my British ways, but I'm tearing away.
Yeah, it was. That was one of my goals always, is like, As I was starting out as an illustrator, I knew that I really wanted to do work on a children's book that I could eventually read to my own child or children. So this book, especially like as it was published, I was able to read it to my two children and they thought it was really funny. They just think Sunny's like hilarious because in a way, like they're quite like the spirit of Sunny. Like they like to come in and steal my paintbrushes and run off with them, be all cheeky. So I think they felt like they could see themselves in the spirit.
So mum was taking some literal license from her own life and blended it into her masterpiece of illustration.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely inspired by my toddler.
Absolutely. And you want a book in general that catches people and they want to go from beginning to end and either keep it on their shelf or share it with others. But for children, you want them to bore you to death with this book that you've read it now 50 times. And you're like, okay, one more time. So that's what I could see happening. Well, let's talk a little bit about then just being an illustrator and being an artist in general. Obviously, you've gone from university to having a very successful career, multifaceted, and then you're an instructor as well, teaching others. Tell us a little bit about that journey to where you are today, and you know, so maybe the ins and outs of it. We already know you're a starving artist and using whatever kind of paints that you had available to you. We got that one.
Yeah, well, I suppose when I graduated, so I studied illustration at university in London. And then when I graduated, I just did not understand like how I could be paid to do drawing. Like I thought I'd be tricking anyone if they gave me money to do drawings, although it was like what I wanted to do. I didn't really understand, but it was gradually I got a studio space, sharing with lots of friends from my course who are also trying to be illustrators. And we would do projects together that were sort of self-started, self-funded projects with the little money we had to and do group projects and our own work as well, just personal work to try and get our names out there, get our work out there. And then just little by little started to be contacted for small jobs, lots of editorial jobs, lots of those sorts of, they're the kind of illustration jobs that seem to be disappearing now a bit for more recent graduates, which is very sad because for illustrators, that's the best way to practice is those quick like newspaper or magazine illustrations. So I did a lot of those, a lot of internships and yeah, just carrying on building up clients and just somehow end up here.
Yes, because you're very good at what you do. That's the key. Because I love your art and I love your illustration in general and how you put everything together. And
thank you so much.
So I know it will be continued success moving forward and growing. So I'm excited about that for you.
Thank you.
So, Grace, tell us a little bit then at the end of the day, when people pick up a copy of the book, Van Gogh's Dog, and they look at all these wonderful illustrations and want to keep it forever and share it forever. Is that your goal as an illustrator? Or is there something that you're hoping they get from it? And maybe someone mentions you're like, thank goodness, they got it. They got it.
I guess I always want people to feel something from looking at my illustrations or reading this book and the story, just feel inspired themselves. And because for me, like through creating the artwork for it, I'd studied Van Gogh like when I was back in, I don't know what you call it in America, but here we'd call it primary school.
Yeah, grade school.
So to me, it was just like, I didn't really, that was kind of faded memories. I didn't know much about him. And then from doing more work, like having to be inspired by his work, it just gave me so much more like excitement to create and all the like brush strokes he uses and the movement and the unusual colour combinations. And I just like love all his landscapes. So I hope when people would read this book or look at my work in it, that they'd also feel that sort of that energy and that sense of excitement and kind of be inspired by stuff around them maybe as well.
Nice. So Van Gogh inspires you and Sunny the dog inspired Van Gogh. So it worked out great. Where can people find out more about you and your work, Grace, and also pick up a copy of the book, Van Gogh's Dog?
Well, I've got my website, which is gracehelmer.com, and Instagram as well. And yeah, I think you can get a copy of the book from all good publishers, independent booksellers.
Fantastic. Well, everybody definitely pick up a book. We'll get that posted. Everybody take a look at gracehelmer.com and all the wonderful stuff that she does. It's just brilliant. You'll see everything in there from flowers to landscapes to dogs to even bums, as we call it. So, or we don't call it that here in the States. I can't say this is a family show. So, but yeah, I saw there's a separate section for that. Brilliant.
Yeah, take a look at that.
There you go. So it's gracehelmer.com. And everybody pick up a copy of the book. It's available everywhere, online, independent, everywhere where you like to buy your books. It's Van Gogh's Dog, written by great Georgia Larson, and wonderful illustrations by Grace Helmer. Grace, thank you so much for coming on the show. Congratulations on the success of the book. Continued success with everything. And yeah, we'll be expecting a drop of a book or an email when the next one comes along.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been so fun.
Absolutely. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, ideas, comments for the show, drop us a line. You can go to petliferadio.com, and we'll be glad to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows and hosts. It's a barking good time at petliferadio.com. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life. And who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights, Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on petliferadio.com.